In Luke, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. And what follows is what's considered the most famous prayer, probably the most well-known. Many of us have probably had it memorized longer than we've been alive. You could recite it with your eyes closed. It is the Lord's Prayer, and so we're taking January to unpack it. But I have a question to kick everything off, as I always do. Parents, this one's geared for you. Have your kids ever told you that they need something that they really didn't need? Never, right? Like, how many times is like, Dad, I really need a new iPad. No, you don't. Mom, I really need this thing that you just bought my sibling for their birthday because it's really cool and I want my own. I need it. No, you don't. And we, you know, I've heard this. Pastor, especially with the youth. Pastor, we really need the latest gaming console with this particular game because my friend won't come unless we have it. We need it. No, you don't. Michelle's getting that all the time. It's not my problem anymore. Right? And it's amazing because our kids may not be able to tell you what the difference between a need and a want is, but they have figured out that if we tell mom and dad that we need it, that has more weight than if I say I want it. Right? Our kids are smart. They figured this out. If I just say, I need this, maybe it'll convince them. And it usually doesn't, but, you know. And as I was thinking about this, I wonder how often we do that to ourselves. You know, do you really need the new phone? Did you really need the new car? Did you really need to go down to King's and take advantage of that big sale? I'm just kidding. I wasn't personal. Don't read into that. But you know what I mean? Like, did you really need to do that? And so often we convince ourselves that yes, I do need it because it's going to make my life better, or whatever reason we tell ourselves. But the reality is that if we're going to narrow things down to needs and wants, can anyone tell me, just shout it out, I'm not scared, what are the four basic needs in order for you to live and survive in life? It's not a complicated question. What are your essential needs for life? Food, water, air, shelter. I'm going to add clothes, because if that isn't happening, we're not filling the church, right? I show up no clothes, we got a problem, right? So we're going to throw that one in. We need to be covered. Air, food, shelter, water, and clothes. And so often, but even within those things, we can overdo it, right? Like there's a reason God says to warns us about gluttony, right? Because it's not just say that I need food, it's knowing how much you need. It's not just saying I need something to drink, it's what do you need to drink? It's not just about having shelter. You know, we get caught up in this deception of we need the biggest shelter, right? AKA the home, and we need shelter for our vehicles, and we need shelter. And yet the vast majority of the world would love to have a fraction of what we have. So the question I want you to have in the back of your brain as we're going through this morning's message is, what does it mean to have your needs met? And I wonder if in the West we need a lesson from our Heavenly Father to recalibrate exactly what it means to have our needs met. And maybe some of you are like, but my needs aren't being met. That is the reality of our current economic crisis. And the good news you have is that what we're going to see is that God is the one who meets our needs. And so it's an encouragement for some of us that are like, even if things are tight, even if things are tough, God's going to come through for you. But on the flip side, it's a recalibrating for the rest of us being like, what is it that I actually truly need? And this morning we're going to see why it's really important for us to understand what the correct answer to that question is. So Before we dive in, as we have said all series long, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. I encourage you, do not say it as you have it memorized, unless you have the new version memorized, and that's perfect. But please read along as it appears on the screen. Here we go. Matthew 6, starting in verse 9. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. It's amazing this morning, I'm going to warn you, I might go long, because it's amazing how Scripture can pack so much in what is probably the shortest verse in this whole prayer. This morning we are on, give us today the food that we need. And there's three parts to this. One, I'm just going to briefly touch on. The other two, we're going to do the deep dive on. So, with that, give us. Anyone ever notice as you go through the Lord's Prayer, there are no personal pronouns? At no point in the Lord's Prayer do we pray for me, we pray for I. It is we, it is our, and it is us. And what has been taught, and that's probably true, is that Jesus was teaching a prayer that is supposed to be said in groups. That probably is true. It is a good idea for us to say it regularly as the church. But I think what Jesus was actually trying to draw out was that you are now part of something bigger than yourself. That when you go to prayer and you're like, God, I really need strength today. Well, guess what? You're not the only one who needs strength today. There are brothers and sisters in the faith all over the world who are feeling really weak and insufficient. So, God, give all of us strength. God, I'm really feeling like I'm lacking, or I need some patience, God. I need some patience. Well, guess what? There's probably lots of us in the church that are having our patience tested. So, God, give your church patience today. Because it's not all about you. Yes, you are important, but you are just a part of the body. And I want to unpack this more later on, but it's the idea that when you pray, yes, God is concerned about your individual needs, but he is also concerned about the body's needs. And so we come to prayer and we're like, God, give us today the food that we need. God, give us the strength to overcome temptation. God, give us the strength to beat addiction. God, help your church. Give us today. Today. I had one author point out the fact that Jesus didn't teach us to pray for all the bread that you need for the month. Because if he did that, if you only had to pray to God for your monthly needs, how often would you pray to God? Not monthly, because you'd probably stretch it out, so it'd probably be about every month and a half until everything gets really desperate. And I don't know about you, but if I only talk to my wife once a month, that's going to put a bit of a strain on things. Right? If you only talk to God once a month, or, you know, didn't teach us to pray for our weekly needs or our yearly needs, because if you only talk to your spouse, you only talk to your friends that rarely, your friendship, your relationship's going to take a hit. And what Jesus is trying to teach us is that we need to pray for today, because we need to rely on God's provision and strength and abundance daily. Because I don't know about you, but if I go too long without seeking God and having his help, I am prone to messing up. And if maybe it's just me, because I know you guys are all amazing and perfect all the time. It's just me, but, right? I need God's provision and guidance daily, and I think we all do. This thus why God said, teach today. Jesus also talks about this later on in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, verse 34. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. James, the brother of Jesus, picks this up in chapter 4. He says, look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we're going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year, we'll do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, and then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. Jesus teaches us that we are to focus on today. It's the reason why today, here and now, is called the present, because the reality is that tomorrow's not a guarantee. And the other really important thing to remember is that the Lord's Prayer isn't a bunch of sections that are completely disconnected. Last week we're praying, God, may your kingdom come soon. Well, maybe soon means tomorrow. Maybe soon means later today. You know, it says that the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. We don't know when soon is going to meet its fruition. And so we live for today because tomorrow is not a guarantee. And this is never more apparent than when you lose someone. Right? We kind of live with this default understanding in the West that we are going to live forever. Right? And for some reason, when someone passes away, it catches off guard like it's something that is not supposed to happen. Guess what? Death is part of life. You live, you breathe, you die. And there's no way of knowing when the time is up. And so Jesus and James is picking up on this, saying, tomorrow? You don't know what you're going to get tomorrow. You don't even know what's going to happen within the next hour. You don't know what the weather's going to do, right? So here's the solution. Focus on today. It's not that you can't have your plans. It's not that you can't have a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan. It's not that you can't set goals. I'm the first one to encourage you to set goals because it's how you direct your life. But your goals and your plans and your ambitions have to be held with open hands, saying, God, this is where I hope I end up. But bring my dreams and my hopes into alignment with your will so that I may experience and be in step with what you're trying to accomplish. May my dreams and aspirations line up with your desires and your will and your plans, because I don't want to be outside a step of that. You can have your plans, but you live for today. Remember, Jesus is preaching to people who are really poor, and today is all they had. They got paid daily, right? Not like us that get paid bi-weekly or however often you get paid. They showed up, they did their work, and they went to their boss, and they got the day's pay. And that happened at the end of work every day. There's no guarantees. And if you got sick and you missed a few days, there was no sick pay. You didn't get paid those days. You had to figure it out. So Jesus, but this hasn't changed. Tomorrow is not a guarantee. You don't know what's going to happen. So live for today. God, give us today. And the last part, the food that we need. Matthew 6:25, Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether to have enough food and drink, enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food, your body more than clothing? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. He is the good Father. He knows you have these needs, and he also knows how distracting it is when these needs aren't being met. But again, you have to hold, give us today the food that we need in light of what we talked about last week. May your kingdom come. And what the prayer is God, I want to see your kingdom come. I want to see your will be done, but I have this distraction, right? I've got to work. I've got to have these needs met. I've got to, right? I worry about what we're going to have for lunch. I'm going to worry about, and so the prayer is, God, you meet the needs. so I can focus on your kingdom. You meet my needs so I can focus on living righteously. God, you be the provider. When I say God is the provider, it's not, well, maybe. Maybe it's a basket of food that miraculously shows up on your doorstep for a little while. But God's provision for you is the ability that you have to make, to do work. Right? God formed you in your mother's womb. He gave you your gifts, your talents, your interests. He made you who you are, and your ability to provide for your family, your ability to do what you do every day is a gift from God. It is a provision of His. It's not just, hey, here's a basket of food. Get ready. And it's so important for us to remember that God is the provider and the meter of our needs in every capacity, because it helps us understand what Paul was talking about here in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I want you to see this. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Farmers, right? We're tracking. They're pretty straightforward. You put a few seeds out, get small, put a lot out, you get a lot. Most of us make our living doing that. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. I want you to see that. If you have your Bible, this is a good one to highlight. If you give generously, God will meet your needs. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. This is the scripture's teaching on why we need to be generous. It is walking in step with God's will, with God's kingdom, helping those. Because if God is the meter of our needs and we want to be like our Heavenly Father, then it would make sense that we would also want to be meeting people's needs or helping in this capacity, right? If God is faithfully, this is the whole reasoning behind forgiving. We forgive because God has forgiven us an unpayable debt. We'll get into that next week. I don't want to get ahead of myself. We love because God first loved us. And we give because God first met our needs right where we are, as generously as only our Heavenly Father can meet our needs. And Paul is saying, not only has He met your needs, He will meet your needs in abundance so that you can be generous to others. As scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources, then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Farmers, how many of you are able to walk out into the field after you've planted the seed and say, "Okay, plants, start growing now"? How many farmers can just flip the switch and start rain when you need rain to come? Right? You do your part. You plant the seed, and the rest of it is all up to God, because you can't control when the sun shines, you can't control when the rain comes, you can't even control when that sucker starts to germinate, and you can't even control how much seed each stalk's going to, you will control so little. And He's using the farmer analogy to help us comprehend, you control so little in your life. And God provides such an abundance that we so easily miss it. God will not just meet your needs, He will generously provide you enough that you're able to share with others. Thus, we come back to the question, what does it mean to have our needs met? Because if God has given you enough that you can be generous with what He has provided for you, and you are struggling in the area of generosity, then there's a good chance your calibration of what a need is off. God has called us to generosity, because look at what He says in Matthew 25. And this, I really don't like this chapter every time I get here, because it always hits me right between the eyes, being like, ding, 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 wake up, Matt. Anyways, I'll show you why. Matthew 25. starting in verse 31. But Son of Man, when Son of Man comes in glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his throne. All nations will be gathered in his presence. He'll separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from goats. He'll place the sheep at his right hand, goats at his left. The king will say to those at the right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger show hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. When you did it to the least of my brothers, you did it to me. It is a recognition that every single person who walks on earth is an image bearer of God. And when we show kindness and generosity to those around us, we're not just doing it for the person, we're doing it because they are a son and daughter of God. And we're honoring his provision, his love, his generosity in us as we extend it to others. And I'm not going to read the next part because you can read it for yourself. Okay. And I'm running out of time. I told you I was going to go long. You were warned. Okay. So the question is, if God is meeting our needs and we are struggling to be generous, then we need to recalibrate what it means to have a need met. Because what is happening, I believe, is we are so overloading ourselves with these false needs and these things that we think we're going to enhance our life, and we have to make sacrifices along the way in order to keep up what is happening. So maybe it's a perception, so you always have to have the nicest clothes on, or you have to have your hair done perfectly. Ladies, I'm not just picking on you, because guys, we're just as prone to do that as well. Right? Or it's this, how many of those subscriptions do you really need? Or how many? Because if it's getting in the way of your generosity, or if it's starting to make you feel strapped, and then you have to pick up extra work, and so because you're so busy working and doing all these extra things, you can't serve a church, you can't even show up on Sunday, because you've got to do all this other stuff. And all of a sudden, our generosity with our, because it's not just generosity of money, it's generosity of time, it's generosity of skill, it's generosity in everything God has provided to us. So where is it that our needs have expanded more than what they actually are? Because Jesus says this later on in the Sermon on the Mount. No one can serve two masters. He'll hate one and love the other. He'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Romans 13. Owe nothing to anyone except your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you'll fulfill the requirements of the law. In Proverbs 22, just as rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. Owe nobody anything except for the endless debt to love one another. What does it mean to have your needs met? My challenge for you this week is to sit down and maybe go over whatever it is and ask God, reveal to me the areas with which I have not been where I've got this wrong. Where am I giving too much to something that it will not last, and it's getting in the way of something that is going to have an eternal impact? Where is it that I'm trying to have more than what I actually need? And I'm not talking about that we need to become poor and impoverished and just get by on the bare minimum. There's nothing wrong with having more than enough, but it's, can you do that and still be generous? Can you still have more than enough and still be generous and willing enough to help where help is needed? Because if you can't do both, then one of them's got to go. And this morning is Communion Sunday. So I can get whoever Clay recruited to come help with communion and give you a chance to go to the kitchen and get the communion cups, because I want to set the stage here a little bit. Give us today the food that we need. Because there's another layer to this. And Jesus talks about this in John chapter 6. He says, Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty again. I'm going to leave that up for you. I am the bread of life. Jesus, when we pray this, it's not just, God, I am trusting you to meet my needs. I'm going to live as though you are the provider of all good things. But it's also the recognition that Jesus is the bread that we desperately need. He is the bread of life. He is the one who redeems and renews and sustains and keeps us going. He is the bread that all of us need. Whoever comes to him will never be hungry. Hungry for what? Hungry for purpose. Hungry for fulfillment. Hungry for belonging. Because all of those things are met in the perfection of Jesus. You'll never be thirsty. You never thirst for what you do not have, because God is going to meet everything that you need in your abundance. You won't crave the things of the world, because he is the bread and the drink, and he will perfectly sustain you in a way that only God Almighty can sustain you. And so this morning, we'll take communion to remember the body broken. Jesus, I thank you that you are the bread of life. And Father, I pray for us that we would recognize that you are the sustainer of our needs, that you, if we keep our eyes on you, if we seek your kingdom, if we seek your righteousness, you'll take care of the details. If we put you first, then you prove yourself time and time again as faithful and good. So, Father, Holy Spirit, I invite you to seek us out. What are the areas in our life that maybe I'm not putting you first? What are the areas in life that I'm living a little too extravagantly, and it's getting in the way of what you have called me to? God, search us, refine us, redeem our minds and our hearts, that we would seek your kingdom, that we would seek your will, and trust that you are going to take care of the details that you've said you'll take care of. Seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. Father, may those words sink deep into our hearts. May they rattle around in our brain as we take on the life that you've given us. Remind us, God, to live it one day at a time, trusting you each day to do what only you can do, so we can be who you've called us to be. In your precious name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. All right. I told you I was going to go long. Good thing we didn't have potluck. We wouldn't get to eat at all. You're dismissed. As always, we have discussion questions that will pop up on the screen shortly. If you're able to stick around, please stay at your table or gather in the pews. Go through the questions. Challenge one another. If you got to run, though, God bless. Have a great week, and we will see you next Sunday.